From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
The FBI fires Peter Strzok, the agent who was in charge of both the Hillary Clinton email and Donald Trump Russia probes at the FBI. Did he get unfair treatment? Plus, Democrats charge cover-up in the Senate document fight over Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Do they have a point? Welcome. I'm Paul Gigo with the Wall Street Journal. And here to talk about these subjects are my colleagues in New York, Alicia Finley. Hello, Alicia.
Hi, Paul.
And Bill McGurn. Hey, Bill.
Hi, Paul.
So let's start with the Peter Strzok firing. He was recommended by the ethics department, internal ethics examiners at the FBI to get a suspension of 60 days, Bill, and yet he was overruled by the deputy FBI director under Christopher Wray, he was dismissed. What do you think of that decision?
I think most ordinary Americans would say it's about time, and why was he on the payroll this long? Look, Bob Mueller thought he was unfit a year ago, kicked him off his investigation, right?
He was leading the investigation.
Leading the investigation. He was kicked off because he saw those texts. I think it's also—
Explain those texts.
The text between Mr. Strzok and his lover, Lisa Page, another FBI official. She was a lawyer. That had a lot of anti-Trump statement and also included the extraordinary statement when she said Trump isn't going to be elected. He answered, no, we'll stop him. I mean, it's an incredible thing for a federal officer with a lot of power who's conducting an investigation into the campaign to be reassuring someone he's going to use that power to stop a president. I think there's also just a whole lot of things wrong with Peter Strzok. My dad was in the FBI. He was very proud of the FBI culture of truth, which is very important in law enforcement. And this guy on the FISA application, so much information was not listed, such as who funded the dossier that they were using. Devin Nunes is asking about information that he said would have been exculpatory toward Carter Page that was also not included.
He's running the House Intelligence
Committee
investigation.
So I think there's a lot of questions of his truthfulness. Also, to cap it all off, the Inspector General in his report said he couldn't be sure that Mr. Strzok's decision to not really pay attention to the new Hillary emails thing and to focus on Trump, he couldn't be sure that was free from bias. How can you have someone in the high reaches of the FBI with questions like that? I mean, you're entitled to your personal opinions, but—
Well, isn't that his defense, Bill?
That's his defense. But once your personal opinions become public and become they raise questions about his integrity.
His defense is that these were his personal views, that
right.
Everybody in public life has some personal views or political views, but that they never influenced the judgment that he used in any of his investigations,
right.
And that there's no evidence of that case and that happened. And he would point again to that Inspector General's report and say, the Inspector General said there was no evidence that a bias showed through in any decision making. He did say—
Not quite. The Inspector General said he couldn't be sure there wasn't bias in this case. Look, I think the kind of bias also as an FBI agent in those kind of investigations, it's like shaving points in a basketball game. How do you prove that? It's not throwing the game in such an obvious way. But little changes like his, especially if you compare how the Hillary investigation was handled on the emails to how the Trump investigation was handled. You know, he helped draft the letter that shifted the language from gross negligence to extreme carelessness. Look, I think when there are questions, legitimate questions about someone that high up, I just don't think they can take it. You know, and when your personal opinions become public in such a way, I think it changes the story.
Alicia, as always in this kind of thing, Donald J. Trump has elbowed his way into the debate, tweeting, of course, it's about time. Finally, I think the word he used, Strzok was fired. He's been urging Strzok to be fired for some time. Does that help make this seem like it's actually a justified case of firing, or does that complicate the politics and make it look like it might have been political?
Well, it does make it look a little more partisan. Look, the Office of Professional Responsibility had recommended that he be disciplined. The deputy director decided instead of just removing or suspending him for 60 days to actually fire him, because in order in part to ensure that people have more faith in the institution, which has really taken a black eye amid all these scandals and people. So I think, yes, I think that's exactly right. The president has further in ways tarnished or also undermined the credibility of the FBI here.
Just by suggesting that somehow this that
they were taking orders from him, or this was being directed in part to vindicate him.
And I guess I would argue that there really is no chance that the FBI was taking orders from Donald Trump, because all the evidence is that they don't listen very much to Trump. Though you could make the case that Christopher Wray, the FBI director, he's certainly trying to clean house a little bit from, at least at some of the senior levels, from the James Comey staff. You had the general counsel, Mr. Baker. He's gone. You have former chief of staff to Comey. He's gone. They've been transferred away. I think one or two of them may have now resigned. You had Deputy McCabe. He was dismissed. And now you have Peter Strzok going. Lisa Page, though, his paramour and his interlocutor on those tests, she still works there, I believe.
I thought
she
had resigned.
Resigned. She's resigned. That's correct.
I think you're right. I'm not a fan of Christopher Wray. I think he's another Washington lawyer. He has not been as cooperative as I think he ought to be on the congressional subpoenas for documents. And, you know, he seemed to suggest at his confirmation hearings, or one of the hearings, that he couldn't turn these documents over to Congress because they didn't have the security clearance. I mean, it's really an incredible position. But I agree with your point. If you look at the personnel who are involved in all this, all the people on that executive floor, they have been moved around quietly. Even Peter Strzok was sort of, you know, he was the number one or number two counterintelligence officer, and he was moved to a personnel position. So I think Mr. Wray is trying to marginalize these people. You know, one of the things that happened, I think, with Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and the other people you mentioned, you know, they took these cases into the top floor of the executive wing, right? And they didn't have the field conduct a lot of this stuff. You know, they kind of kept it among themselves. And that whole group, as you mentioned, has either resigned, moved on to other jobs or something. So it looks like Mr. Wray doesn't want to be – he may not be as cooperative as I think he ought to be with Congress, but he doesn't want these people in his FBI.
One of the things that I think is underestimated by Mr. Wray is the degree to which, at least for half of the American public, all of these revelations about how the FBI behaved at senior levels and Director Comey's behavior – both that helped Hillary Clinton and hurt Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election, have done enormous damage to the public perception about the fairness and the lack of politics, which we like to think of at the top rungs of the FBI. Now, anybody who has read anything about the history of J. Edgar Hoover knows that in the past it was not always the glorious G-man past of television and movie fame in real life. But with Comey, a lot of those echoes have come back. Not that he's the same as J. Edgar Hoover, but nonetheless, the intervention in the political campaign has done enormous harm.
I agree, and I think I think actually Mr. Comey was mostly worried about Mr. Comey's reputation.
Yeah, he wasn't partisan.
And he sacrificed the FBI's reputation for that. And some of the things I think he did were really unforgivable. The way the Hillary Clinton investigation was handled. I mean, the best way to understand Peter Strzok and these other people is not to just look at what they did in the Inspector General's report on the Hillary investigation, but to compare the handling of that investigation with the Trump investigation. I mean, it's night and day. The immunity deals, the change in language, and so forth. And I think the liberals hate Mr. Comey because they think he cost Mrs. Clinton the election, and he probably did cost her some votes, and they hate his last-minute announcement they were reopening the case. But he should be disliked for the July intervention where he assumed the powers of the attorney general and made all these pronouncements that he had no business making about the case not being prosecutable.
All right. We're talking about Peter Strzok and the Brett Kavanaugh nomination, and you're listening to Potomac Watch from The Wall Street Journal.
Your Money Briefing will explore what you need to know to become a homeowner and how to sustain your home by learning ways to manage the costs from unexpected expenses.
You're basically always in a state of checking. You're always keeping your eye open for anything that could be going wrong with your house. Your house is a complicated machine. It has a lot of systems and components in it, and those systems and components are getting older. They're wearing out.
You can get early access to our series, Buying a Home and Keeping It, on WSJ Special Access. Only for WSJ subscribers.
Spend time with Alexa? You can now listen to Potomac Watch on your Amazon device. Just enable the skill and ask Alexa to play Potomac Watch from the Wall Street Journal. From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Welcome back. I'm Paul Gigot with Alicia Finley and Bill McGurn. And let's turn to the Brett Kavanaugh nomination, which proceeds apace in the Senate, the confirmation process, which is moving ahead. The Senate Judiciary Committee, Chuck Grassley, the chairman, announced, Alicia, that on September 4th, that is right after Labor Day, the confirmation hearings will begin. Kavanaugh will show up himself on September 5th. That's just about 2 months, it will be, since the nomination was made in early July. And inevitably, there's a battle going on about the document production and how many of the documents that Democrats are seeking will be turned over in time for the Democrats to inspect. In particular, they want, A, more documents from Kavanaugh's time in the White House, and B, they're objecting to the vetting process that's being used by the Bush Presidential Library to vet those documents. So what do you make of the fight?
Well, I think first and foremost, they're just trying to delay the confirmation process.
Democrats
are. Right, because Republicans, it looks like they have the vote. So maybe they're hoping that if they delay long enough until after the election, Democrats will win a majority or potentially some kind of damaging information, which I don't think there's no signs that there is any, but could materialize in the interim. I think that's the main goal. And I think there really isn't much substance to their allegations that this process is, or that Republicans are trying to obfuscate or conceal papers. They're basically using the exact same process that the Obama administration used to with Elena Kagan from her time as Solicitor General.
The Bill Burke, I think you probably know Bill.
Yeah, I know Bill very well.
He was in the counsel's office in the Bush White House. Now, he was designated by President Bush to be the person who, the legal supervisor under the Presidential Records Act, to deal with archival requests. Presidents right. under the PRA have the ability to supervise control over access to their documents for up to 12 years after their right. president. So they normally pick somebody to be able to supervise that process. In this case, Bill Burke happened to have worked for Brett Kavanaugh when right. he was in the White House. So the Democrats are saying this is a conflict of interest. Burke will not fairly turn over any documents that are somehow hurtful to Kavanaugh. But to Alicia's point, the Obama administration, when they were getting documents about Elena Kagan's time in the Clinton counsel's office, used Bruce Lindsey
right.
to vet those documents. And Bruce Lindsey was a colleague of Elena Kagan's in the Clinton White House.
Right. I mean, we're all colleagues in that way, right? From any administration, someone's going to be a colleague. Look, Bill Burke is a man of integrity. He worked in the staff secretary's office as deputy. He also worked in the counsel's office and I believe the Justice Department. You know, he there's a reason he got the job that he did to sift these documents. He has good judgment and so forth. I think the larger point is what you were saying mentioning before and Alicia pointed to, they're not really interested in the documents. They're interested in a delay because they desperately do not want Democratic senators running in Trump states to have to vote on this before the election. They were also hoping, I think the editorial that we ran on this had, they're hoping that they might stumble on something, right? A gotcha. I mean, that's why they had Freedom of Information requests for Mrs. Kavanaugh's emails when she was town manager in Maryland and looking for hot button phrases like abortion or Trump or something or gay rights. And they're hoping for a gotcha. And the reason for this, what's interesting is, and I believe the editorial also made this point, they're not interested in a pretty considerable record that Brett Kavanaugh has as a judge, right? If you wanted to oppose him, there's a lot of, you know, you could come have a different philosophy, but they're not interested in any of the relevant things. These are Hail Mary passes. They're looking either to delay or find something that they hope they can make stick.
Alicia, on that point, maybe 307 published judicial opinions by Brett Kavanaugh in his dozen years on the D.C. Circuit. That's a voluminous record. Want to know how many opinions, judicial opinions, Elena Kagan had when she was being when she was nominated?
Zero.
Exactly. So it was all the more important to get documents from Elena Kagan's time on the, in the Clinton administration, if that's what you wanted to see. Now, also interesting, the Obama administration did not turn over documents to Congress about Elena Kagan's time in the Solicitor General's office during the Obama administration.
Which provides more insight into actually how her judicial philosophy, everything that—
Because that's the job that
that
office
is the
does.
Job, right? And everything, I mean, versus Brett Kavanaugh's staff secretary, you're really not going to get much insight into what he views or his judicial philosophy. It's mainly just papers coming in that he's processing for the president.
Yeah, it's kind of a paper traffic cop job. And now he might weigh in a little bit and say, are you sure that this is the way you want to put it? Maybe we need another check here. Maybe make sure that somebody in that department gets make sure that they're heard in the process before it gets to the decision-making document gets to the president. But it isn't something that will give you insight into what he's going to think about Roe v. Wade or what he's going to think about Fisher on affirmative action, that sort of thing.
But maybe they're hoping that, as to Bill's point, that they find some kind of loaded language that he says something that's not exactly politically correct, refers to certain people in certain ways.
I mean, those would most likely be in conversations. He hands the president his briefing book at night, handles all the paper that goes to the president. Now, Brett did edit things. He edited some of the speeches of the last verse before they went through. But it's ridiculous. He was serving the Bush administration. The president made these decisions. And none of those documents are his. They're other documents that other people produce. The staff secretary doesn't produce documents. It handles the paperwork of everyone else. So, for example, if the secretary of the treasury sends something over, it'll go through the staff secretary. When I wrote speeches, I never handed my speech to President Bush. It went through Brett Kavanaugh and the staff secretary so they could keep track of it. So this is just a wild goose. I mean, it's just amazing to me when there's this treasure trove of information in the decisions, Paul, that you mentioned, 12 years of decisions. I mean, that's a pretty good track record, right? It removes a lot of question marks about what the man is thinking on certain issues. And they're not interested in that at all. They're just interested in, you know, staff secretary reports or this other stuff. It's really absurd.
Well, the reality of this politically is that the Democrats are already marshaled, most of them, against Kavanaugh. They're going to vote for him
right. Based
on the philosophy that you pointed out. Okay, fair enough. You can do that as a
right. Senator.
You say he's going to vote in the wrong way in all kinds of cases. Okay, that's your right, privilege, and authority as a senator to do that. But to win, to defeat him, they have to turn some Republicans because
right. Republicans
run the Senate. And that means they have to throw up enough dust, enough
right. Smoke
that gets a couple of Republicans nervous enough to be able to say, well— I need more time,
right.
Or let's bring him back in for a hearing, or I have serious doubts. You know how it goes. Right. And if that happens, that's what they're trying to do, because then if they can kick it as far down the way path as possible, who knows what might turn up.
Yep. Paul, you were a quarterback in college. They're on their own 13, second down, 45 seconds on the clock. They're just going to throw a few Hail Marys and, you know, hope that it hits someone. But, you know, your point about them making their decision before they had met with them and so forth, that's their right to do. But as Chuck Grassley pointed out, it sort of suggests insincerity when they make these document requests. In other words, if you made up your mind already, why do you need the documents? It just looks like, as Alicia says, a tactic.
So, and do you think, Alicia, that Chuck Grassley is going to move ahead on schedule with the September 5 hearing with a goal of getting Kavanaugh confirmed by the October 1st start of the Supreme Court term?
I do. I mean, I think they realize what's at stake, and it just becomes harder the more if you were to delay it with elections coming up.
All right. Thank you, Alicia. Thank you, Bill. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of Potomac Watch to talk about another batch of primary elections. Thank you for listening.